Land reform is a hard issue to study because it's difficult to see what would have happened in the absence of land reform. Nonetheless, let's take a look at a bit of what we know. We're going to look at this piece by Tim Besley and Robin Burgess on India. Keep in mind, in general, the economic results of land reform can be either positive or negative. The negative scenario is pretty straightforward. If the government confiscates or somehow alters property rights and land, investors may be less willing to put resources into agricultural improvements. Security of property rights is an important precondition for economic growth. On the positive side, land reform may remedy an inequality, and it also may give people who work on the land a greater stake in agricultural productivity and thus increase their effort, because after land reform, they're not simply working for other people. The relative strength of these various effects, of course, depends on context, and we're going to look at data from 1958 to 1992 from the major Indian states. What makes the paper work is that the authors were able to compare the Indian states which had a good deal of land reform to the Indian states which did not. So, under the years of consideration, there was a lot of land reform in Kerala and Tamil Nadu, but there was not nearly as much in Rajasthan and Punjab. There are four possible types of land reform during this period. The first was reforming the terms of tenancy contracts. That is, a state government would intervene and regulate the contract, ostensibly in the interest of the tenant. For instance, this kind of regulation might have stipulated that a tenant would receive a minimum share of the output from the land. Second, another kind of land reform would abolish intermediaries. Going back to British colonial rule and also earlier, typically, there were feudal lords who would own land and they would hire intermediaries to extract additional revenue from the people working the land. Most Indian states already had abolished these intermediaries before 1958, but it turns out that five Indian states abolished these intermediaries only after 1958. Third, another kind of land reform could put a ceiling on how much land a single landowner could hold. And finally, the fourth kind of land reform could allow for a consolidation of landholdings and, in effect, remove ceilings on how much land an individual landholder could hold. It's going to turn out these four kinds of land reform have different effects, and in general, when someone talks about land reform isn't a single thing. It can mean many different things, with, of course, different economic analysis for each. When we look at the data, it turns out that land reform really is correlated with a falling rate of rural poverty, yet it's only two kinds of land reform which matter. It's tenancy reforms and the abolition of intermediaries. Legislation having to do with land ceilings and land holdings and concentration don't seem to matter for rural poverty. You might wonder, what does this correlation mean? After all, it's possible that the very existence of land reform is simply proxying for a fact that maybe a state cares about its poor citizens in some other way. So land reform and the decline in rural poverty may be correlated, not because there's a causal relationship, but because land reform is proxying for other policies. To try to take this into account, the authors also look at urban poverty rates. If land reform were proxying for a more general set of policies, we would expect land reform to be correlated with especially steep falls in urban poverty rates, but it turns out that it's not. So maybe there is some unique rural effect resulting from land reform. Nonetheless, not all of the economic effects of land reform are positive. Following a reform in tenancy regulations, it actually turns out that agricultural output per capita falls. What does this mean? Poverty is going down, but agricultural output per capita is going down too. It seems to be that what's happening is the way the land is being worked is less efficient, but more of the gains of what are being produced are going to the poor people working the land. In other words, there's an equity-efficiency trade-off. Land reform does seem to make matters more equitable, but it also makes agricultural production less efficient when we're talking about land reform that affects the terms of contracts with tenants. That was pretty close to our original microeconomic analysis, namely that land reform can have some negative effects, and land reform can also have some positive effects. Just to put together a few results from the paper on one slide, following some kinds of land reform, rural poverty goes down, agricultural wages go up, rural per capita income from agriculture goes down following reforms to tenancy, and there's an equity efficiency trade-off for tenancy reform, but there's no equity efficiency trade-off for abolishing intermediaries. When you abolish intermediaries from that kind of land reform, there's no negative effect on rural per capita income from agriculture. Overall, there's a great deal which economists do not know about land reform, and land reform is very difficult to study systematically. It really does depend on context, whether the positive or the negative results will be more important. Nonetheless, this paper is at least a start on a very difficult topic.